Hi, everybody. It's Thursday night, 9 o'clock. It's the Handicap Rugby Chat that matters. Welcome from me, Brent Graham from Good for the Game. We're looking forward to talking some rugby betting. Wasn't it great to have rugby back on our screens last week? And with a full house, particularly there at Eden Park in Auckland, absolutely superb to watch. And I can tell you, South Africans we may be, but we're very excited for New Zealand Super Rugby. And a very successful show, I'd have to say, last week from a betting perspective as well. The guys were really on form. There were some great bets, and certainly some of our long-term plays are looking good as well. Let's introduce you to the panel, though. Henrik is taking a break tonight. He's sitting watching, I think, with a quiet little brandy and Coke there while he studies a little bit of form. I think he's going fishing on the weekend as well. But a man who looks as though he's had a haircut since I last saw him, Couch critic Hein Dumont. Couch, you had a little bit of a snip there?
How's it, Brent? Yeah, no, went for the cut. It was before Cyril's chat, so I wasn't sure when I was going to see my hairdresser again. So I said, let's just make sure and take it all off, huh?
Excellent. So you actually went to get your haircut before it became legal. That's basically what you're telling us.
I've got a takeaway haircut.
Yeah, well, I have to say, the way that forehead's looking, I think you can be going for polishes in years to come rather than haircuts. It's not going to be that long. Let's move to the far right of my screen. Justin Rowe Roberts, he's been on the show before. He used to work with GG Gaming. He's now up in Joburg working in the financial divisions or with a finance company. Great to have you back on the show. And I can tell on Twitter that you are very, very excited for the rugby.
Yes, Brent. Thanks for having me. I've been a fly on the wall for far too long, although I have been tuning into the Handicap regularly over the last year or so. But yeah, keen to get stuck in and try out some value where I can. Luckily, I've done some due diligence for the weekend and I do have a fancy here or there. But yeah, we'll chat about that more as the show goes on.
You can always tell when a guy's entered the corporate world when he starts throwing words around like due diligence in the sports betting field. I love it. And welcome to the guys who are going to be joining us on the live chat. Sean Nicholas, aka Rugger Bugger, on the Good for the Goal Game Forum. He's shouting home the Crusaders. And I know a couple of other guys who I think will be joining in there. And let's start with Jordan. Jordan, welcome back to the show. A good opening week for you guys.
Evening, Brent. Just a quick shout out to Sean Nicholas. He's basically like a father to myself and Litke. He's someone who we learned our sevens trade from and obviously owe a lot to. And we can't wait for that next sevens tournament. But yeah, Brent, it was a fantastic start to the 15s. It was weird because often when you have conflicting or relatively conflicting best bets on the panel, often, you know, one's going to win and one's going to lose. And, you know, but I mean, it kind of happened that all of our best bets won, yet all the teams that we backed were slightly different. So, I mean, it all went well for the panel. And I think it was a great first weekend. Unders scraping home by half a point in both games. So credit to the bookies for getting that one right, taking about 2 years to bring the markets out, but getting it right in the end. But luckily, we were on the correct side of the call.
Well, we'll touch on that a little bit later. They did bring the markets out a bit earlier this time, and I'm not so sure they're going to be doing it again because the markets did seem to be a little bit off. We will talk about that. Let's go to Andrew now. Andrew, good to have you back on the show. Also, a good week for you. I know you two guys are normally aligned with your bets.
Yeah, no, it was a good weekend, but it wasn't great for the heart with those unders played. It never is with New Zealand teams, especially. But glad to come out on the winning side. And yeah, it's meant to be our last week of semester at Asada University this week. But I think I put more time and research into the Aotearoa Round 2 rugby market. So
I'm sure you did. I think we're having a few issues with Andrew's connection there. I don't know if the other guys on the live chat can tell us this. Okay, just something that worries me a little bit. Would you guys call Sean Nicholas a father figure? And I've always considered myself a father figure to Sean Nicholas because I like to think I got him into punting. But does that make me your grandfather? You know, that's a little bit worrying.
Brent, considering how much week after week I'm starting to like the Blues more and more, I think I could be starting to call you granddad sometime soon.
That's it. Well, I can tell you two things run in our family. We're all big Blues supporters and we've got hardly 2 cents to wrap together. So welcome to the clan because the Blues don't make you money in the long run, I can tell you. Just another welcome to the likes of Stephen Lonely on the Braven, Brendan Vessels, of course, aka the conductor. Brendan, you haven't been putting your hand up for the show, but we look forward to having you on again soon as well. But guys, let's get straight into the action. Couch, I just want to touch on the outright betting a little bit. I see the Crusaders have generally stayed around the even money 9-10 mark, but my 6-1 selection, the Blues 9-4-1. The Hurricanes sort of 13-2, around about the same price as the Chiefs, who've drifted out a little bit. And the Highlanders, of course, in from 33-1 to 11-1. Any value there at this point? Are you happy to sit tight on what you've got? Were you one of the guys who got on the 5-1 Hurricanes to finish last?
Yeah, no, definitely. That was my pre-tournament play there. So I'm pretty happy with that start. That's looking fantastic right now. I mean, as you said, it's probably gone to even money now. So that's good. And just the fact that the Highlanders, who are their direct competition probably for last place, got the victory there. So that really does look good. Again, Damian McKenzie as well. I don't know. I think the bookies just got it wrong because he didn't really do much that you didn't expect from him in week one. And all of a sudden, he's... 3-2 at the moment to be the tournament point scorer, top point scorer. So that's also a cracking start there. And then just value-wise, I think the only value at the moment is 5-1 I got on the Chiefs. You know, it's one loss. Obviously, if they do lose this weekend, then it's probably sayonara to that bet. But at this moment, they win this weekend and all of a sudden everything's right with the world again and they're in with a shot. So 5-1 to me is probably the value play outright at this stage on the Chiefs.
Excellent. Justin, let me bring you in there because New Zealand rugby is so competitive. We know that. We've always said that about the New Zealand Conference. You know, the team that you think might finish last is quite capable of challenging and beating any other team. So I think for punters that are looking, and let's not call it in running as in the game, but in tournament play, as far as the outright markets go, there's going to be some opportunities there and you've just got to wait for the right moment.
No, 100%, Brent. I totally agree. They're definitely two or three sides that can win this tournament with relative ease. I would say, I know Henrik and a few of you guys were chatting about it last week, the Hurricanes, I think, at 4-1 to finish last. I see that's trimmed down all the way to, I think, 12-10 around there. And I personally don't think they've got much of a shot, but between Chiefs, the Crusaders and the Blues, I think they've all got a decent shot at winning this tournament.
Yeah, it certainly has. Son of a punt, boys, we'll bring you in. Jordan, go to you. Anything? I know you guys were strong on Damian McKenzie. I think it was for top point scorer that Couch mentioned. I know you guys were strong on that. Some nice starts for the long terms. But anything stand out for you? Any further involvement this week?
Did we get anything? No, I don't think so. Not that I can recall.
Happy with your position there.
All these weeks just merge into one, though. So I can never remember what happened when.
Excellent. Yeah, well, pity. I mean, we've all probably got a few long terms that were placed on the original Super Rugby. And of course, that was where the tournament not finishing caused all sorts of confusion. Let's have a look at Pierre Killian, one of our offshore viewers and a regular guest on the show as well. Given all the penalties we saw last week, I had a look into the Lucy's for Blues v Chiefs. Blues conceded lots more penalties, and without Robinson, he backs the Chiefs to come out on top. So let's get straight into that game. It's the Chiefs against the Blues. The handicap came out Chiefs -2.5. It's been pretty stable. I have seen in some places it went 1.5. But essentially it looks like the bookies nailed this one as far as the betting goes. And I must say, I've been reading on Twitter, on the Good for the Game forum. There's so many divided opinions here. And let's start with you, Justin. Is this a game that you're going to be getting heavily involved in, and which way are you leaning?
So initially, when the handicaps came out on Monday, I didn't really have too much of an opinion on the game. Obviously, Blues played relatively well on the weekend at home at Auckland Park, albeit against an understrength side. And I wasn't impressed at all with the Chiefs at Forsyth Bar last weekend. But at the end of the day, it is Chiefs in Hamilton. You've got Gatland as a coach, absolute gulf in class. Players and coaching wise, and I'm extremely bullish on the Chiefs. Whether you take that outright or the minus, I would even fend people off going the 1-12 Chiefs, because I think there is a chance that this could be an 11-20 kind of game. I'm not trying to say that it's going to be a blowout 20 plus, because we all know that doesn't happen with New Zealand derbies. But yeah, I am extremely confident on the Chiefs, and I think they will walk this one.
Well, just to summarize it, Justin is opposing the Blues, and it's been lovely having him on the show. We won't be having him on again, but thanks very much. No, but fair enough. I think a lot of guys have come out quite strong. I know Henrik is very strong on the Chiefs as well, and always a worry for me when Henrik comes out so strong. I'm on this game. I'm like, I was on the Blues last week. I did well out of them. And then you feel like they're going to do it again. But then in the back of your mind, you're thinking about all those times you've been let down by them. And it's just like, you know, which way are you going to go? But let's go to the side of a punt. And Andrew, to yourself first, what are you going on this game?
Yeah, Brent, I think the bookies have hit this handicap or this game on the head, as you said. So it's very tough to call this one pre-game. I mean, the Blues were made to look good by the Hurricanes last weekend. They do have a good team, but Caleb Clark, I don't think anyone could tackle him. He ran through about 20 players each time he got the ball. If he learned how to offload or something, he could have put Bowden through a couple of times, but he's a bit selfish. But I'm not touching anything pre-game here. I think I'm going to wait for in-play and try to get on a +8, +9. I don't really care which... so unfortunately not completely aligned with Justin there, but my biggest player, actually I had to call my granny this earlier today, the unders point in this game almost looks like an absolute runner. There's supposed to be showers, it's an evening game, it's going to be closely contested. The Waikato is an under stadium of note. I mean, under, I think the line came out at 55 at some bookies, 52 on the board, but I had to actually follow up with the call with my granny because it's under 30.5 points for the first half, which I think is, it's gold.
And that was at Bet Exchange and Betway. Have you looked recently? Because I know that was this afternoon. Funny enough, I saw an even bigger price at one point at World Sports Betting, but I've got quite a good relationship with the guys. I actually phoned them and said, guys, take that down. You're going to get absolutely pummeled. So I'm not sure which overseas trader price that up, but have you had a look at the site lately? Is that, are those prices still up there, 30.5, or have they moved?
No, they're still there, surprisingly. I still have to go back and check to see if I'm awake and if I'm alive and it's real, but it exists and it's alive and kicking on both Betway and Bet Exchange at the moment.
Well, Jordan, I know you'll be on that as well. I mean, I guess the thing is with a bet like this, the prices, when I say it's wrong, it's a few points out, so the value is without doubt going unders. At the same time, you've always got to be careful with these type of bets because I've seen bets before where I've said, that's incredible value. And instead of betting my usual amount, I get granny's pension like old Oracle Rugby used to, and I stick it on. And the reality is that New Zealand teams are capable of more than 30 points in the half. But if you look at it, if you had that bet to take each week, and you know if there was that sort of value each week, you could make a living out of sports betting because there's no doubt about it, that's staring in the face there, Jordan.
Yeah, Brent. Look, I think if I'd expect that type of points line for a first half between the Griquas and the Pumas. I wouldn't expect that type of first half points line in a Chiefs versus Blues, especially when the Caps at -2. In an even money game, a coin toss. I don't see there being many points. I think it's going to be an arm wrestle. I think there might be penalties traded. I know Henrik's scared of penalties when on the unders. I really can't see 30 points coming in the first half. And I mean, there has to be some period of sustained pressure by one team or another where you allow that points line to come down a little bit. And then at worst, if you're scared, you can kind of hedge out of it with a bit of a middle line, taking like an over 24.5 points or something. And then you just hope that it falls in the middle. But I mean, at a bet like that, under 30, I think it's juicy. And you know what? Andy's calling his granny, and I'm calling my grandpa. Brent, I need your pen.
Unfortunately, my funds are cleared out a long time ago. But just while I've got you on the line, I want to mention something else because I know we've had some chats about it before. The first scoring play, and I know look, the penalties have been frequent. I don't know last week, but I'm imagining maybe there were first scoring play was penalties in both games. And I had a look at Sunbet, and I saw in this game the Blues – penalty to be the first scoring play is 14-5, so a shade under 3-1, and the home team, the Chiefs, is 11-4. So you're talking over 5-2. You know, so those look like pretty decent prices. You could probably back both teams as long as there's a penalty, you can make a profit. But you pretty much got to pick your team. Otherwise, you agree that those are pretty tempting.
Yeah, I think what used to be our favorite markets was on Bet365. You could actually be even more specific, so you could say, I want the Chiefs first scoring player to be penalty. And you could get odds of close to 1-1 in this type of game. And I mean, there's nothing better than off the kickoff, they come up for the ball, you know, there's a little fumble, and then Lachlan Boshier is over that ball, penalty, and then they point at the poles. 30 seconds yet. You can see that kick going over the poles, and you're like, geez, this was the biggest gold mine in history. I used to do that quite a lot with Catrick Keyless and the Southern Kings.
Because Catrick Keyless, who just retired this week, of course, he used to whack them over. But, I mean, it's interesting last week because I remember the Chiefs actually got a penalty early on. And I think they'd already conceded a penalty, and then they kicked, but they actually kicked for the corner. They didn't go for post, but then they failed to score a try. And after that, they went for the penalty. But it was a strange old week, that couch last week, because we had drop goals as well, which you never get in New Zealand rugby. And I see Three Peters put on the forum, and I think it's quite a good post that he's put on there. He's getting quite a nice price about a drop goal to take place in this game. I think he's getting about 11-2, if I'm not mistaken. And clearly the guys have been practicing it, perhaps for the sort of golden point rule. But let's bring you in on this game. What are your thoughts? I know you've got a few hookers lined up for us and probably a few other things as well.
Definitely. Just on the drop kick I've seen in the NRL, when they go into that golden point, it's a drop kick. It's just going for the drop every single time. So it looks like they've pretty much taken cue from that and decided they're going to have to practice it. I mean, the chances are we're not even going to see a drawn game in this whole competition. So it's actually a bit strange that they've gone to that trouble. But yeah, this weekend we've got McKenzie who slotted one, and we've got, I think it was it Bowden or Otero or someone who tried one as well. So definitely there has to be a decent shot if the price is right. I think you could do worse than going for that. The big thing in this game just to me is I don't really agree on team-wise. I think the Blues definitely have the team. If you look at that back line on paper, I mean, there's not a lot wrong with it. Obviously, your 9-10 combination isn't the best, but Otero played really well, and that centre combination was dynamite. The wings looked full of running, and you got Bowden Barrett at fullback. I mean, to me, the Chiefs wingers are probably less good or lesser than the Blues wingers. So, yeah, to me, the Blues probably got the edge there. And even in the pack, I mean, it's a second-choice Chiefs tight five. I was hoping someone would come back there. No one's coming back, and their bench is weak. So I was really worried when I saw the team. So I'm not as confident as I was in the Chiefs. I was thinking it's going to be business as normal with the Blues blowing someone away in week one and then coming unstuck in week two. So I'm still hoping that's going to be the case, but I'm definitely not quite as confident anymore. I know a lot of people will say Akira Ioane penalty there, walking around lazy as well, and I do agree, but ball in hand, he's a mean machine, and he's obviously, as a try scorer punter, I quite love that because he likes getting over the line, so he's someone to watch out for. And Hoskins Tuta, I mean, he's been playing brilliantly, and I actually think it might not be a bad thing that Papa Lee is playing. He's fantastic on flank as well. So to me, it's a pretty solid loose trio that, and going against a combination that to me was quite quiet in that opening game. Everyone's talking Jacobson, and they're talking Lachlan Boshier, but I saw nothing from them in week one, so they're going to have to step up. It was only Gus who did some go-forward ball. So, yeah, to me, in terms of team news, it's all the same, and slight edge probably to the Blues, but, you know, how many years we've seen it on paper, they're fantastic, but on the park, it's something different. So I'm just hoping mentally they're not quite there, and mentally the Chiefs playing at home, a week of tongue-lashing and hitting the slopes and being chased up and down by Warren Gatland, it's going to do the job. And I'm thinking, I'm actually going for that exact 1-12 that was mentioned, probably not taking. I'm taking that 19-10 Chiefs 1-12. That's my main pick for this game.
Yeah, I must say, I had a look at the stats and the head-to-heads between the teams. And look, the Chiefs have dominated most of the recent fixtures. I think the Blues have won one out of the last 8 or 9. But the majority of the wins have been fairly tight. So I think that 1-12 is going to get quite a lot of support. So that's your main bet. Anything else on this one, Couch?
Yeah, I've just organized a little special there. Again, I think it's going to be tight both ways. So I've got the Chiefs to lead by 1-8 at halftime and Chiefs to win by 1-12 at the end of the game. So that's a Bedalam special at 17-2. So I think that's a nice little price just to have a go there, and think it should stay quite close for the entire game. And then try scorers, I'm going away from the hookers this weekend, guys. So it's Quinn Tupia, I think, I don't know how you say his name, outside centre for the Chiefs. He looked full of running and outside
Anton Leonard Brown and Aaron Cruden. Hopefully they create something for him. So I'm backing him at 16 to 1. I think my price is there. And then obviously the old dog is probably not good enough to be playing at that level anymore. But Jeezy loves the try line on the bench. Adam Thompson, back him to score the last try. I think it's 25 to 1. So it's a juicy price. Get on.
Yeah, certainly can't do any damage at that price. So Adam Thompson, you're one of my favorite players over the years. I must say, I thought he'd retired about 4 years ago, though, so I was quite surprised to see that he was running out there. Guys, Justin, anything else from you on this game before we move on?
No, not really, Brent, just with regards to points lines. I see it's come out around 52-ish. Obviously, it's a night game. I think Suns. It's around 5 o'clock in Hamilton, and it's a 7 o'clock kickoff, so it's going to be quite moist, a little bit of dew. The only thing going against unders here is that if there did have to be an overs ref per se, within the New Zealand rugby like union, it is Ben O'Keefe. But I still don't necessarily regard him as an out and out overs ref as I would Yaku Paper or Egon Seconds. So not too many concerns there, but yeah, it is a little bit unfortunate.
Yeah, I must say, I also saw the 52.5. It was before I saw the 30.5 halftime. And I must say, even that, I thought 52.5 was a good unders play. The one thing about New Zealand rugby that does worry me, some of the games get off to frantic starts. I mean, think last week, was it the Hurricanes Blues game as well? I think by halftime, there were sort of 30 points or somewhere around there. Because, I mean, the halftime spread was 68.5, and I went low there. And that arrived fairly easy. And often New Zealand games, I don't know what it is, they seem to be games of two halves where the one half is high scoring and the other one is low scoring. But the question is to pick the half. But let's finish off with the Son of a Punk boys. Andrew, anything else on that game before we move on?
Just to add to Justin's point, Ben O'Keefe is definitely an overs ref. I was looking at his past games as well. But I think maybe the new rules are going to count. Interactors is over because he didn't have to call the penalties and have to slow it down and make the right calls. So hopefully that just counters it a bit there. And then just a shout with the penalties. I was looking at the previous games at the Waikato, and 3 out of 5 penalties in the first round, and in the 7th round there were 3 from 6. So definitely think if you can get a market of over 2.5 penalties in this game, I think it should cruise. Atira Black and DMAC are both absolute radars off the tee. So I think they're going to trade a bit in the first half. So if you come away with 2 penalties there, and then in the second half, maybe another 3 to extend the lead. So over 2.5 penalties could be quite lekker.
Okay, Jordan, anything to add from yourself before we move on to the final game or the second game?
I actually didn't get to say, but I mean, I agree with Hein there. I'm not convinced about this Chief side. I initially thought the cap was actually going to come out as a Chiefs plus, a small Chiefs plus. And I mean, the fact that their hooker Samisoni Takeo is now like their main hooker with Nathan Harris injured, and he had an absolute howler of a game, along with the rest of their front row, who also had pretty average games. And then you got two extremely young locks, who I mean, they do have potential, but you got two extremely young locks. You're losing Mitch Brown, who's their biggest tackler. He makes the most tackles in their team per game, more than Sam Kane even. So that's huge. And they didn't get Tyler Aldrin back. I'm scared of the Chiefs. But I think our betting angle for the game will not be touch any handicaps like before the game, but kind of wait for an in-play. My personal preference would be Chiefs to go into the lead, 7-0 or something, and then hop on a Blues plus 7 or something like that. I think that would be pretty nice. It's effectively, plus Blues plus 7. So that's the way I'm thinking about it. And it's hard to fault this Blues pack and their back line as well. I mean, credit to Sam Knock. He had a really solid game patrolling the team. And Brad Weber didn't really have as good a game as Aaron Smith last week. So he's going to have to step up as well and win the Battle of the Nines.
Yeah, it's interesting you mention that because, I mean, these guys are all coming out of lockdown. Yes, they've been training for a month, but every player may well be at a different sort of level of fitness. So you might find a guy you expect to really be incredible. Maybe a guy, you know, is not quite at his best. But I'm pleased. First of all, I'm pleased I called on you, Jordan, because you've now convinced me the Blues are good things. I think there's still 27 to 20 available on the Blues. And I've been umming and ahhing about which way to go in the good for the game preview, which I'll post later tonight or early tomorrow morning. I think I'm going to give the Blues another chance. I think I can't leave them after last week. And also just very impressed with Otero Black last week. I thought he was absolutely superb. But just, yeah, New Zealand's depth at fly-off is just absolutely amazing. I mean, some guys were saying future All Black, and then another person would come on Twitter and list like eight guys in the queue ahead of him. You know, like unbelievable depth there. But let's move on to the next game, and we're going to start this time with Couch Critic and get his views. And that's the Hurricanes up against the Crusaders. The Hurricanes, by all accounts, everyone agreeing, disappointing last week against the Blues. And the Crusaders, of course, are coming in fresh, Couch.
Yeah, Brent, I think everyone knows I really like the Crusaders. I like the way they play rugby. I'm not one of those who, if I was a New Zealander, I'd probably be enjoying the Crusaders. I don't have any hard feelings for them for their success. I think they've built something fantastic there, and it's hard backing against them. And I mean, I've backed the Hurricanes to finish last in the tournament. So, I mean, it's only one way for me to go in this one. And Scott Robertson had his guys playing a warm-up clash this past weekend, so they won't go in completely cold. And I think he had a referee there reffing it according to the new interpretations as well, which is something you'd expect from him. He's a bit of a mastermind. So I'm expecting the Crusaders to be ready. If anything, I still think they'll probably take a little bit of time in that first half just to settle into things, especially if you know, the weather isn't going to be fantastic. They'll probably just, you know, the slow diesel engine get going, and then there's no stopping them. So if you want to do something, then maybe the half-time, full-time Hurricanes, Crusaders is the way to go. But after that, I'm definitely on the minus there. I was surprised, as I think Son of the Punt will come out and say, to have within one try. I mean, that's fantastic value for me. So I was big on the minus 6.5. I've thrown the Crusaders into every single multi I had this weekend. So it's all systems go for Sunday morning.
Excellent. Well, let's go to Son of a Punt, and we'll go to Jordan first up. Jordan, you guys were very strong on the Crusaders when it came out minus 6.5. You actually opened the Good for the Game forum thread and you posted that. And every punter that, well, not every punter, but the majority of punters that I've spoken to or that I've seen, everybody seems to be agreeing that the Crusaders are potentially the play there at 6.5. But the line hasn't moved. Are you surprised by that?
Sure, extremely surprised. I mean, when we priced the games, kind of giving an estimate, in my head, I was double digit, potentially even three scores, like plus 12, plus 13, even plus 14, just based on how poor the Hurricanes pack is, and how disorganized they are, and how unprofessional they are, and how bad at place-kicking Gordon Bashup is. And just, I mean, they're horrific. And then you take a professional unit like the Crusaders. I mean, I think if there's one team that's good at playing in the rain, it's Leinster. But if there's a second team, it's the Crusaders. So, I mean, Andy and I saw this in the week, and we were like, jeepers, Granny, Brent, great Granny. I mean, this needs to be struck on. It's going to move 3, 4, 5 points in the next, you know, 2 hours. It needs to be done right this second. I'm shocked it hasn't moved a point. I see Superbets as minus 7, but that's the widest I've seen it.
Yeah, it is quite strange. And Andrew, I'll come to you on that one. And let me say that I've seen these situations before where you expect a market to move quickly and it doesn't. But that doesn't mean it won't move, if I can put it that way. It's almost like the bookmakers have decided to take them on. But there's going to be a threshold there where if money keeps coming for the Crusaders, that line will move. And I'm going to predict now that I think it'll start 8.5 still. Do you see the line moving?
Yeah, Brent, definitely. I think it's going to move. Like, there's already been such a buy-in for the Crusaders. I think if Jordy Barrett doesn't get announced at 15, it's going to shift. I think that's going to be the final pivotal point where that cap now starts moving towards the 8.5 region, as you said. And normally, to be honest, I'm quite scared off a market when there's such a big buy-in. It's normally a big red flag for me that's waving. But in this case, I'm holding firm with this. The Crusaders minus 6.5. The Canes can't.
Anyone else lose him there?
Yeah, I've lost him.
Okay. Andrew, sorry, man. We've lost you there, so I'm going to go.
I'm back. Can you?
Yeah, you're back there. Yeah, try again, and if we lose you again, I'll go to Couch.
Yeah, basically, I said the Canes don't have a line out at the moment because Dan Coles can't hit a line out, and Gordon Bashup can't kick for three. I think he hooks about every single kick. So they have no attacking weapon. And the Crusaders, I think, are just going to teach them a lesson.
Excellent. Well, one guy's pulling against the common opinion on the show tonight is Stephen Marks. He reckons the Canes will cover the line. But, Couch, let me bring you in there. Just a total points line on this game. I don't think there's been anything out yet. But I guess we're also going to see somewhere around the 52-point mark. Would you be an overs or unders play? Because Pierre's suggesting in the chat that this could be one to go overs on tries.
Yeah, Brent, I've only heard about the weather, so I mean, I'd stay out of this until I've heard the weather. I mean, that could make a difference there. So there's going to be nothing for me, and especially closer to it's weird calling the weather so far out. So I mean, I'll definitely, it's only on Sunday, so wait for closer to the time. But I mean, if it's a great day, it's afternoon footy, so it's something to consider and to keep in mind. But again, you know, Crusaders first game out. Usually they've got quite a good defense, and we didn't see much from the Hurricanes there. So it'll take quite a lot to get me to go overs, especially, you know, maybe if something then go unders on Hurricanes points, perhaps.
Excellent. Well, we made him wait. We made him go first in the first game. I made him wait to last in this game. Justin, give us your views on this one. We've got a couple of guys in the chat who's saying maybe the Hurricanes can beat the Cap. All of us here seem to be on the Crusaders. Where are you going?
So, Brent, I'll just give you like a quick summary of how my week's been. So, obviously, this cup comes out Monday. Straight afterwards, the granny gets a ring, as Flax and Lifty also did. Absolute must. Then from there, I start to unbundle all my assets to Cash Crusaders to get liquid cash, because it's essentially just less than doubling your money. It's a 9 to 10. I've liquidated everything. That painting behind me is the last thing to go tomorrow. And this handicap is 10 points too low. That's just as simple as it is. And then just a quick pointer with regards to the points lines. I do agree that it probably will come out around 52.5. But you need to watch out, because Brendan Pickerel's the ref and he will blow the game dead. Not in my lifetime will I ever go over his total points when Brendan Pickerel's refing. Crusaders overs a runner for sure. But I think you'd be a lot safer probably going Hurricanes under 2.5 tries, or maybe Hurricanes under 20.5. If we're blessed with that line, I'm not too sure if we will be.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I had a quick look at the weather. I believe was it sort of a pun saying that it's going to be windy. Well, and also the thing I look for in these New Zealand games, okay, I know it's an afternoon game, but certainly look for things like humidity levels and that as well. I did note that in Hamilton, the humidity was going to be quite high. Obviously, there was a bit of rain about. But sometimes even when there's not rain about, you do get the humidity. And if I look at – I haven't looked at Sunday yet, but I look at Saturday there in Wellington, it does look like there's quite a bit of humidity around. So I'll probably be an unders player in this one. Guys, anything else, anything to add on this game before we wrap up with our best bets?
Brent, yeah, just the only, obviously the team news isn't out, so I'm not going to go give you guys try scorers there, but again, it's going to be boring, but the hookers, a runner, yeah, and Cody Taylor, if he does start, I'm presuming he could, but even if it's Makalio at hooker, the Hurricanes, it's a poor pack of forwards. You know, if it was me, that would be my target, kick to the corner, and especially again windy and things like that, it could be tough throwing it about in the back line. Just keep it up front there and make sure he gets in the boot and gets us probably something like 20-1 again, and then we might as well stop the competition, because it'll be fantastic.
Excellent. Well, let's finish with your best bet, Couch.
Yeah, there's no other way to go than 6.5 handicap on the Crusaders there. That's definitely how I don't have to phone any grannies or anyone, and I'm not going to be phoning you, Brent. I'll just use whatever I've left around. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I heard you were back in the office this week as well. That's a nice change.
Yeah. I need to earn some coin for the betting, huh?
Excellent. Justin, your best bet of the weekend?
I'll also go on the Crusaders, but I'll go minus 12 at 2-1, 12.5. I think they'll still cover that. I think the Crusaders will win by 15 plus. Yeah,
I'm beginning to worry you might be Oracle's kid the way you're talking there. But if you like a handicap big, there's nothing wrong with going on it like that. I must say I've tended to be more I'd rather have a bigger bet on the 9-10. It's just the way that I've tended to play. But I know that a lot of guys have argued. There's a guy on the Good for the Game forum, one of our veteran punters. He doesn't come on that often, but Compos, he always said, don't play the 9-10. Rather take 3 or 4 more points and take the 18-10 or the 2-1. And yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting study maybe in the long term to see where you'd do better. But I've also won a couple of handicaps sometimes by a point or two, and then I'm obviously quite relieved I've got the smaller amount. I don't think I've got much doubt as to what the best bet is going to be for you guys. And by that token, there's a scroller at the bottom there. You can subscribe to our mailing list in the description box below. Our weekly best bet mail will be coming out tomorrow. I don't think you're going to have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what it's probably going to be. And Jordan, just confirm your best bet, please.
My best bet is Hurricanes on the board. Nah, kidding. Crusaders, Crusaders minus 6.5. I'm going to follow Hein and technically Justin. Justin, just to add there, he could be Oracle's son. He's got the same rig as Oracle, so I can see how he would be related.
Excellent. Well, just before I bring Andrew in there, Stephen Mark saying his best bet is the Canes. So if the Canes do get up on the handicap and win the game next week, I'll only have one guest on the show, and it'll be Stephen Mark. He'll be talking to us then. Andrew, obviously you're going to rather stamp the Crusaders.
Yeah, Brent, look, that is minus 6.5 is gold. And just to diversify the portfolio a bit, I'm gonna have to go best bet under 30.5 for the Chiefs Blues. I think that's
for the first half, yeah.
Yeah, for the first half.
Excellent. Well, we're losing Andrew there, but I can tell you guys, look, I'm gonna do the newsletter in the morning. And if that under 30.5 is still there, then as far as I'm concerned, they've had every chance to move the line. I'm going to suggest that as one of the – I'll probably do two best bets then in the newsletter. But, guys, thanks. It's been great having you on. Thanks to all the guys who joined us in the live chat as well. Always a pleasure getting your opinions on the game. Only two games, but it's just great to have rugby back. Thanks to all of you. I see Brad Reth popping on now as well. And I must say the Canes are getting a little bit of support amongst the guys in the live chat. So we'll see how we go.
Getting worried, Brad. Getting worried, man. Getting worried. I don't like all these comments here.
That's it. And anyway, it's been great having all the guys on. And thanks to all the guests. Justin, great having you on the show again after so long. We'll definitely have you on a regular basis now. And, of course, the Son of a Punt boys are becoming regulars as well. Thanks a lot, guys. And thanks, everyone, for watching.
Cheers. Thanks, James.
Thanks, everyone. And subscribe to our channel down below if you haven't done so yet.